हरे राम राम हरे कृष्ण। सो मैं रिक्वेस्ट यू टू कम दिस साइड इफ इट इज कन्वीनियंट टू यू। इट्स लिटिल डिफिकल्ट टू टर्न अराउंड। So yesterday we discussed part one of this creation process. So we welcome you today to the second day, part two of the creation process. Yesterday we ended at listing the 24 elements, all the material elements. So we'll once revise it and start. So who didn't get an opportunity yesterday, we request. Yeah, 24 elements.
I didn't get the opportunity yesterday. I mean, I was not here.
Okay. I was saying who didn't get the opportunity yesterday to list the 24 elements, will give them an opportunity. Yeah, Prabhu.
Air, water, fire, earth, eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and skin, false ego, mind, intelligence. Legs, mouth, hands, anus, genitals, sight, sound, touch, taste, and smell.
Yeah.
And then the combinations.
Yeah, that's mahatattva. The combination is called Mahatattva. Mahatattva.
M-A-H-A-T.
Tattva. Okay, good, very nice. What is your good name, Prabhu?
Brian.
Prawn.
Brian.
Brian. Okay, let us clap for Prabhu. Very nice. Yeah, you want to try?
So, five gross elements. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. Five working senses. Hands, legs, mouth, anus, and genitals. Five knowledge acquiring senses. Eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and skin. Five sense objects: smell, touch, sound, sight and taste,
and
the
Mahatattva. Done all 24? Yeah, okay. Good. Your good name?
Rakesh.
Okay, let us appreciate Rakesh Prabhu. Nice. So these 24, at some point of time, is only one, Mahatattva. Then they become 24. Today we'll discuss how they become 24. From 1 to 24. It's a big process. So when from 1 to 24 they become, that means there is a good interrelationships between them. So at the end of the class we'll discuss the process. Now I'll talk about all the parts. At the end we will assemble them. So gross element, subtle element. What is the difference? The difference is when an element is accessible to our senses, it is called gross element. When an element is not accessible to our senses, it is called subtle element. Clear? Gross, accessible to our senses. Subtle, inaccessible to our senses. Example? Give me one example of element which is accessible to our senses.
Hands.
Hands.
And mind is subtle element.
Right. Hand is gross, accessible to our senses. Mind is subtle, not accessible to our senses. Now, if an element, we have five senses. If there is an element A, which is accessible to five senses, and an element B, which is accessible to less than five senses, then we will say B is more subtle than A. All five senses, full gross. Four, little less gross. That means subtle. Little subtle. Three senses, less gross, more subtle. In this way, gross and subtle is divided. Now, earth, water, fire, air, ether, these are five gross elements accessible to our senses. Earth is accessible to all the five senses. For example, this wood, it consists of earth, water, fire, air, ether. So we can see the wood, we can hear the wood, we can touch the wood, we can smell the wood, we can taste the wood. I mean, it has a taste. Not eatable, it has a taste.
I'll believe you.
Yeah. So, earth or any object containing earth will be accessible to five senses. Eyes, ears, nose, tongue, skin. Water is accessible to four senses. Not one is missing. Which one? What water does not have?
Fire, food, smell, I think.
Taste, ether.
The form is
created. Fragrance, smell. Water is not accessible through nose. Pure water you can see? You can see pure water?
Mm-hmm.
Can hear?
Mm-hmm.
Can taste? Can touch? Can smell? If your eyes are closed and somebody brings pure water in front of your nose, you will not be able to identify that this is which item. Are we good? Water is not accessible to nose. Water has no fragrance.
Pure water.
If you add something else in water and that object has fragrance, then this whole object will become accessible to nose. For example, you ask rose petals, then it becomes rose water. Now, rose has fragrance because earth is present in rose. So then water will become, so then it's not called pure water, it's called rose water. So earth, water, then fire. As we go down, one sense will reduce. Now for fire, two senses are inaccessible. One is smell, already not present in fire, not present in water and fire, and another
taste
is not present in fire. If you touch fire, it will burn but not give any taste to the tongue. I will also give you a simple formula how to identify these things. Then air, one more sense is reduced. Which?
Seeing.
Sight, form is reduced. And then ether, one more sense is reduced. Touch. Skin cannot access ether. Only sound. Ears can access ether. Okay, now I go reverse. Ether can be accessed only through sound. Ears. Ether can be accessed only through sound, ears. You hear? That means there is ether present in this object. Now I am thinking. You all are thinking. Or is anybody able to hear thinking of others? That means thought do not contain sound. Thought do not contain ether. Thought is more subtle than ether. We'll take questions at the end.
No, just want to ask Prabhu, what is ether exactly?
Ether, for practical purpose of understanding, is sky. Okay? So thoughts do not contain sound. Thoughts do not contain ether. Mind doesn't contain ether. Wherever sound travels, that means ether is present. I am speaking, you are hearing, in between ether is present. If ether is absent, you will not be able to hear. The sound will not be able to travel. Sound travels through ether. So the main component by which ether is understood is sound. Main component air is understood is by additional component, touch. But air also has below component. Ether is part of air. In the elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, as we go up, ether, air, water, fire, earth, the below characteristics will be available in the above characteristics. That is how the evolution takes place. Are we good? So ether has sound. If you add touch into this, it becomes air. So air has both touch and sound. Okay? Now if you add form into touch, form into air, it becomes fire. Fire has three: sound, touch, form. This glass has a form, so this glass contains fire. If fire is not present in any object, then that object doesn't have form. Fire gives form to object. Air gives touch to object, a possibility of touching it. Ether gives presence of sound. So fire gives form. Now if you add taste into this, it becomes water. If any object contains water, then it will have taste. If you remove water from any object, there will be no taste. Good? Then if you add fragrance to this water, it becomes earth. Any object has earth, it will have fragrance. If in this whole creation, hypothetically, I remove fragrance and throw it out. Suppose I remove fragrance and throw it out. What will remain is water. Now suppose I remove taste and throw it out. What will remain is fire. If I remove form and throw it out, what will remain is air. And if I remove touch and throw it out, what will remain is ether. So remember these equations. Ether plus touch is equal to air. Air plus form is equal to fire. Fire plus taste is equal to water. Water plus fragrance is equal to earth. In other words, earth minus water is equal to
fragrance.
Earth minus water is equal to fragrance. Fire minus air is equal to form. You getting it? Air minus taste, air minus touch is equal to ether. So these elements are related with through this tanmatras, through these sense objects. I wish I could have personally written this down, but I guess hand waving is also okay. In mathematics class, they do lots of hands waving instead of writing on the board. So is that okay? Earth, water, fire, air, ether. Earth is accessible to five senses, water through four, fire through three, air through two, and ether through one. If any object has fragrance, then that object should contain earth. if any object can be touched and characterized, then that object should contain air. If any object you can see and characterize, then that object should contain
fire.
So these are five gross elements, their relationships, how they are accessible or not accessible to some set of senses, and how they characterize objects based on sense objects or tanmatras. So these are gross elements, sense objects and senses. Now we come to three subtle elements. Is up till now clear? Make sense? Mind, intelligence, false ego. These are three full subtle, cannot be accessed through any of the senses. You can't see mind, you can't hear mind, you can't touch mind, you can't taste mind, you can't smell mind. But still mind exists. If anybody talks to you about God doesn't exist because you can't access, you tell them that mind also doesn't exist. But everybody agrees mind exists. Even though you can't see, touch, smell, taste or hear. So mind, where is mind?
Somewhere there.
Okay, we all know there is gross body, there is subtle body and there is soul. Just like a person may wear a shirt and then a coat. So the soul wears subtle body and gross body. So this is gross body consisting of five senses, eyes, ears, nose, tongue, skin, consisting of five working senses, hands, leg, mouth, anus, genitals, made up of five gross elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, gross body. 15, done here. There is subtle body inside. That subtle body consists of three: mind, intelligence, false ego. Where is mind located in the body? Geographical location?
Head.
Where is intelligence located?
Head.
Where is false ego located?
Head.
All is wrong. Mind is everywhere, intelligence is everywhere, false ego is everywhere in the body. Okay?
How? Sorry.
Yeah. I'll maybe write down the questions. Okay, when we study physics, we define matter. One of the first topic in physics is matter. Solid, liquid, gas. Right? But before that, they define matter. What is matter? 8th standard physics they define. In our syllabus is 8th standard physics. They define that which occupies space. Right? But that's not Bhagavatam definition of matter. Anything which doesn't have consciousness is matter. Can matter think? Can mind think?
Yes.
Is mind matter or spiritual?
Spiritual.
No.
Matter.
Mind is matter. Material elements, 24 material elements. These are matter. Mahesh ji?
Yes, sir.
24 material elements. We have not yet touched the soul. We are not in spiritual world now. We are not touch spirit anything. We are discussing 24 material elements. All matter. So mind is matter. Matter doesn't think. Mind thinks. So matter thinks. This is a new thing. Matter thinks. Mind is matter. And mind thinks. Mind does three things. Thinks, feels and wills. Thinking, feeling and willing. These are the three items mind does. Mind is subtle matter. And mind doesn't occupy space. You can't talk about the volume of mind or how many kg is mind, how much weight is mind. Mind doesn't occupy space. Mind is matter and mind doesn't occupy space. And mind thinks. So this breaks down the whole physics we study. Mind accepts and rejects thoughts. Mind produces desires. I want this, I want to eat ice cream, I want to eat pizza, I want to get a mobile, I want to sleep. This is all desires. Mind is a factory of desires. So many desires keep producing. So many thoughts are produced in the mind. I can go on with the mind, but we'll have other things. Okay? Mind clear? Thinking, feeling, willing. Producing thoughts, producing emotions, producing desires, producing anger, producing lust, producing kindness. All this in the mind. Intelligence is more subtle than mind. Intelligence job is to decide. Mind produces so many thoughts. Intelligence takes decision which one to act on or not to act on. Like today when we come for class, our mind says, should I go? Should I not go? Class is there. Then so much driving. Then this appointment is also there. And this shopping is also there. I want to sleep also early. But then there's prasadam also. You know, so many things are going on. Where? Where is all this going on? In the mind. But who will decide? There are two roads. Mind will say, this goes to this place, this goes to this place. Information is there. But who will decide which road to take? That is job of intelligence. Intelligence is discrimination faculty. Intelligence takes decision. Differentiates between good and bad. Intelligence produces doubts. Is this correct to do? Mind may just desire. Mind may just desire. Intelligence will doubt. Is this correct to do? Should I do it? Is it profitable? Is it favorable to my Krishna consciousness? Will it be okay to do this? So many things, doubts. That's intelligence. So there is body with five senses, five information acquiring senses, five working senses. Then there is mind, then there is intelligence, and then there is soul inside. Soul is influenced by the false ego and gives a false identity. I am boy, I am Indian, I am husband, I am engineer, I am manager, I am brahmachari, I am congregation, I am grihastha, I am sannyasi, I am this, I am that, this is mine, I, me, my, mine. This all is influenced by false ego. I am servant of Krishna, this is real ego, real identity. Everything else is illusory, false identity. So, I will tell you a model, how this works. You know, there is something called block diagram in chemistry, geometry, block diagram. So, just imagine a block diagram. One block is body, one block is mind, one block is intelligence. So, there are inputs to the first block, there are connectors to each block, and there is output. Are you able to imagine this, or should we draw?
Flowchart.
Block diagram. Clear? One block, one square with five inputs. What are the five inputs? The five senses. Eyes, ears, nose, tongue, skin. They give input to the mind. Then mind desires. So the input to the mind produces output called desire. And this desire is input to intelligence. And that produces output called decide, decision. And then an action takes place. Glass is on the table with water. How do I know this? Who is giving input?
Senses.
Which sense?
Eyes.
Glass, water available. Water available. My eyes tell to my mind. Mind says, what? Drink it. But mind cannot go out and pick up the glass and drink. That's not mind's capacity. So drink it. This is desire. This is output. Input is water available. Output is drink it. Output of mind is input of intelligence. So mind tells intelligence, water available, drink it. Now intelligence has to take a decision. Intelligence will say, "Arey, just now class started, doesn't look nice. We'll drink after the class." So then I say, okay, leave it. With me? If the inclination says, okay, drink it. All are respectful devotees, they will not mind. Their intelligence will tell the hand. Mind doesn't control the hand. Intelligence controls the hand. Intelligence will send an information to the hand. Hand doesn't know glass available. Intelligence will tell the information to the hand, pick up the glass. And hand will pick up the glass with the help of eyes. Okay? So hand will pick up the glass, I'll drink and keep it. So many things happen, but we do realize? We don't realize. A young boy, a university student, he is walking on the road and he sees a shop where cigarette is available. So cigarette available. Eyes give this input to the mind. And the output is, let's smoke. Non-smokers also sometimes get this output. So mind says, let's smoke. But mind cannot go out and smoke. Mind tells intelligence, we will smoke cigarette. Now there are two types of intelligence. GI, good intelligence. BI, bad intelligence. This example is not for cigarette, for ice cream also, for a toy also, anything. I am just using this example. Even there is ice cream available, right? Something like that. So GI, good intelligence, BI, bad intelligence. Intelligence says, no, we will not smoke. Smoking is injurious to health. It is written on the packet also. Intelligence tells this to the mind, good intelligence. But that doesn't end the story. Mind responds, say, look, we'll smoke only one. One is not big deal. Chain smokers get cancer. One cigarette will not give you cancer. One cigarette is not so injurious. One we will smoke. Mind does this. Intelligence responds, look, yesterday also you said one and had seven, you remember? So we will not smoke. So mind and intelligence, they go on a fight for every decision. Who wins? Mind wins. Intelligence is superior to mind. But mind is so powerful, it overpowers the intelligence and wins. And when mind wins, intelligence directs the hand to go in the pocket, pick out a wallet, remove a dollar, request for a cigarette, take a cigarette, smoke it, and everybody happy, eyes happy, the tongue happy, mind happy, intelligence happy, everybody happy. Even though intelligence is superior as an element, but mind is so powerful, it overpowers the intelligence. Like sometimes we take medicine, antibiotic for our infection, but it doesn't work. Because the bacteria producing the infection has become immune to 200 mg antibiotic, so the doctor gives 500 mg, higher dose. So mind becomes immune. If you do bad habits regularly, mind becomes immune to the intelligence input. We end up performing that bad habit again and again and again. And after every smoking, we say, this is last. This is going on since 10 years, 20 years. This is last. From today, tomorrow, no cigarette. Akhri, finish. But that doesn't happen because mind is so strong. So mind and intelligence, they always are like this. against each other. If intelligence becomes strong, then it will shout at the mind, "We will not smoke cigarette, okay?" Then mind says, "Oh, okay, don't shout. Let's go home." But is our intelligence so strong to shout at the mind? We have to make it strong. And intelligence becomes strong by hearing, by knowledge. Okay, so we'll come back to the model. Body with five inputs. What are the five inputs? Eyes, ears, nose, tongue, skin. The input goes to the mind, which produces output called
desire.
Desire becomes input to intelligence, which produces output called decision. And then action happens through the senses. And this is how what we call is karma. Karma happens. This is the whole system. Mind, well, I have just told you half system. There is an involvement of soul and super soul also in this. Without super soul, I can't lift this glass. Just this system doesn't work without super soul, but we'll come that to the end. Our Shirodakshaya Vishnu item is pending now. Okay? Now we'll go back, go to next point. Mind, intelligence, false ego. False ego is a very, very close neighbor of the soul. So much so that the soul is so influenced by the false ego that the soul acquires a new false identity that I am this body. So if somebody talks about this body or criticizes, I feel bad. If somebody says, "See, your car is so dirty," we feel bad. Why? Because I identify myself with the car. This is false ego. Very strong attachment is developed. For example, I take a scissor and I cut this cloth. Anyone will have pain? No? Same scissor, I cut your cloth. I'm not cutting you, the cloth. But you feel pain? Why? This is also cloth, that is also cloth. Cutting, both same process. By one point we are neutral, other point we are having pain.
It's my attachment.
My, M-Y, that's all. My. My cloth. Cloth is understood. What is my? False ego. I am like this. My cloth, my body, my car, my this, my that. This is mine. This is me. My mind. This identification, false identification in the material world of the soul with matter is provided by false ego. Krishna is right here. I am also right here. Why we are not coming in contact? Because there is a curtain in between. Which curtain? False ego. Unless this curtain is removed, we can't see Krishna. We can't access him. We can't come in contact. False ego is the curtain. Just like sometimes you see clouds. The sun is covered. You can't see the sun. The clouds are in between. In the same way, false ego covers Krishna and we can't see him. Who makes the clouds? The sun. Sun only makes the clouds. Do the clouds cover the sun? No. Clouds cover our eyes. Sun is too big to be covered by a single cloud. The whole earth cannot cover the sun. 10-20 earths will be required to cover the sun. And the clouds are part of the earth atmosphere. So the clouds created by the sun cover our eyes. And we can't see the sun. In the same way, false ego is created by Krishna. It doesn't cover Krishna, it covers us. And we can't see Krishna. Above the clouds, there is full sun, no problem. Above the false ego, the whole spiritual world, no problem. Everything running fine. When a plane goes above the clouds, we see it's sunny. Below, people think cloudy. Above, people think sunny. Right? Sun is not covered. Our eyes are covered. Sometimes the moon is covered by the clouds, and the moonlight which reaches here is hazy. In the same way, our consciousness, which is to serve Krishna, is covered by false ego and becomes hazy. And we try to do sense enjoyment rather than serving Krishna. So false ego acts in two ways. One, covers us away from Krishna. Two, makes us act in a hazy way, in an unnatural way. For example, if I think I am a boy, then bike, nice mobile, nice car, sports shoes will attract me. If I think I am a girl, then lipstick, purse, this dress, this cosmetic ornaments, this will attract me. If I think I am a dog, then bone and dustbins will attract me. If I think I am a pig, then gutters and stool will attract me. If I think I am a goat, then green grass will attract me. If I think I am a lion, then goat will attract me. So different, same soul, different coverings, different false identities make different set of sense enjoyment or objects for enjoyment. Different. All this is based on false ego. Ego means E-G-O. Edging God out. We keep God away from our life. That's ego. Your good mind, intelligence, false ego. So we covered the senses, we covered the tanmatras, we covered three subtle elements, we covered ma-tattva, that's the combination of everything. Now one very important item without which creation cannot happen is time, kal. All of you read in Bhagavad Gita, five subject matters of Bhagavad Gita. What are the five subject matters?
Yes,
Ishvara, Jiva, Kala, Prakriti, Karma. Right? You will find many verses on Ishvara in Bhagavad Gita, many verses on Jiva in Bhagavad Gita, soul, Karma on many verses, Prakriti, many verses, time, Kala, you find many verses. Then why it is main subject matter? Out of 700 verses, one verse, that's not even 0.5%. That's not even 0.5%. Then how that is subject matter of Bhagavad Gita? Something wrong going on.
Krishna says time I am.
So we have to understand what is time. You all been to this ocean? So beautiful. Yesterday I went. When you go to the ocean, what you see?
Sky. Vast body of water.
Sky, water. Sun, waves,
sand.
Okay, you see water, you see waves. Can you tell me what is the difference between water and waves?
Waves is a byproduct of water.
Water is still, waves is.
See,
waves is action,
why is
action happening.
Why is an action of water?
Different form.
What is wave? Water. Is wave anything other than water?
Is water plus air?
Shabash. Very good. Wave is actually wind. The effect of wind on water. Wave is visible effect of wind on water. There is moon also involved here. Okay? Wave is visible effect of wind on water. But nobody said, I saw wind. Right? In the same way, everything happening in this material world is effect of
time.
But we never say, I saw time. You see, I got some grey hair. It's because of
time.
Any object you see, it will undergo change. Any object, this glass, this table, this microphone, our body, our clothes, they will undergo change. Agreed? Who makes this change?
Time.
But it's not visible. Time's effect is visible, and the effect of time is called change. Every object undergoes six changes. It takes birth, it grows, it stays for some time, it gives byproducts, it dwindles, it dies. You take a flower, you take a vegetable, you take a fruit, you take your cloth, you take your mobile, you take your body, you take your relationship. It will undergo this exchange. It will start, it will grow, it will stand for some time, it will give a byproduct, it will dwindle, it will finish. Right? But who is making this change? Time. Where is time? Everywhere. We only see the effect of time. Krishna told time, look, your responsibility is dying, making everybody die. Time said, no, no, my name will get spoiled. So Krishna gave him a blessing. He said, you will make everybody die, you will kill everybody. But it will be done through agents, especially disease and old age. And people will think they are doing it, your name will not get spoiled. So if any person dies, we say, because he was old he died, because he was diseased he died. But actually who killed? Neither old age nor disease. Who killed his time? Because his time had come, so he died. Many old people are still living. Sometimes family members are waiting, but they are still living. Many diseased people are still living. Doctors are waiting. So time had come. Many young people die. Many non-diseased person die. What happened? Time. So old age doesn't kill. Disease doesn't kill. Who kills?
Time.
But Krishna has given a blessing. Your name will not be spoiled. So even after knowing this, if next time somebody dies, we will be discussing, oh, because of heart attack he died. Because Krishna has given that blessing to time, your reputation will not be spoiled. So every single change happens by time. Kal Shakti. You know, an object moves from point A to point B. We call it displacement or distance traveled in some positive time. If I say object moved from point A to point B in time 0, will you accept this? Because that means the object is at two places in the same time. Not possible. Only in some positive time the object can move from point A to point B. Right? Velocity, speed per time. If time is zero, then the velocity becomes infinite. Unacceptable in mathematics, unacceptable in physics, unacceptable in matter. Sorry. This is also unacceptable, but I am sorry. Unacceptable in practical life, time cannot be zero. Displacement, velocity, motion means time is involved. There cannot be motion without time. So there cannot be motion without time. Any motion. I am not talking about physical movement. Even my body is growing, that is motion. Our body changes, you know this? How often?
Every second.
7 years?
For cells change 7 years.
Every second? How many of you agree every second?
So you are saying body is changing.
Body.
Body is changing every second. There is some changes happening within the body.
Oh, yes, sir.
But after 7 years, what happens?
Complete
new body. Every movement, complete new body we get. Your good name, sorry?
Punya Shloka
Krishna Prabhu. When you enter the door and now you go back, you will be going in a different body.
If I don't know you, that's why.
Now I was speaking to you, the body changed. This is a new body I am speaking to. This is true. But we never realize this. You seen a river? After 1 second you go. Is it the same river or different river?
Different.
Swan River. What is the name on the second time?
Swan River.
Third time?
Swan River.
But the water is completely changed. Something else has come. Flow is there. No? Whatever went? Flow came. Every time you go is a different thing, but we call it Swan. So every time he comes, different body. We call him Punya Shlok. You see candle, the flame, every moment the flame is different. Every moment a different part is burned and becomes smoke. But we think it's one continuous activity, one continuous item, one flame. But every time, burn, smoke, burn, smoke, burn, smoke. A different item is being burned and smoked. But we think it's one flame. You're with me? But we don't realize it's different flame, it's different river, it's different body. I'm giving you lots of secrets today.
Yes.
Very rarely people talk about this. So different body, every second, every part of the second, every 1/10,000th of the second, every 1 lakh of the second, this body is changing. Who is making this change?
Time.
And so powerful that we don't even understand it. And by the time we understand it, it's too late. We are under time. Our karmas are under time. Time is here for destruction. Kala Shakti destroys everything cruelly. This whole planet will be destroyed. This universe will be destroyed. And time doesn't exist in spiritual world. So nice. Spiritual world, no time. Time starts in the material world and continues till the complete duration. Okay? What you have on your watch is not time. We are not talking about 2 p.m., 3 p.m., 4 a.m., 7 p.m. What you have on watch is measurement of time. That is non-classical, as per our understanding. This is not time. We use the word time here. What time is it now? We use that language. But I am talking about Kaal as a different and not about what you read on your dial. Okay? So one more step before we talk about the process of creation is three modes of material nature. This is another topic which will take few hours. Basically, material nature. Three modes are not three different elements. They are qualities of material nature. Material nature manifests into three modes and influences whole matter as well as soul. Influences. It's a force, it's an energy which gives influence. Mode of goodness, satogun. Mode of passion, rajogun. Mode of ignorance, tamogun. To give a simple example, you see cow, tiger, donkey. All three animals, but all three have different natures. If you take a stick and beat each one of them, what will be the response? What will be the response if you hit a cow? Tolerance. Mode of goodness. What is the response if you hit a tiger? Before even you hit. That's mode of passion. Before you attack, a tiger will attack you. What is the response if you hit a donkey? Unpredictable. That's mode of ignorance. Unpredictable person. Okay? So these three modes have that three different influences. When we live a life based on knowledge, that's mode of goodness. When we live life based on desire, that's mode of passion. And when we live life on ignorance, no knowledge, nothing, as per the mood, that's tamas, mode of darkness. Early morning, 4 o'clock, alarm rings. A person in mode of goodness, he's comfortable sleeping. It's more convenient. But he uses knowledge. Brahma Murta, I should get up, take bath, do Mangalarti. That's mode of goodness. Early morning, 4 o'clock. But no flight to catch, no desire. He sleeps. Flight to catch, he'll get up 3 o'clock. No problem. Mangalarti, he'll sleep. That's mode of passion, based on desire. My desire. Mode of goodness, knowledge. What is good for my Krishna consciousness? Even if uncomfortable, even if inconvenient. Mode of passion based on desire. My convenience, my comfort, my profit. If it is profitable, I'll wake up. If it is convenient, I'll wake up. If it is comfortable, I'll wake up. A mode of ignorance will not even put the alarm. It is asleep, because mode of ignorance means lazy, procrastination, sleepy, eating, that's all. Good? Mode of goodness, mode of passion, mode of ignorance. These three influence everything in this world. The soul, the matter, the time, everything. Morning time is considered mode of goodness. Afternoon time is considered mode of passion. Night time is considered mode of ignorance. Evening time is again considered mode of goodness. Colors, food habits, our worship, our charity, our determination, various objects, clothes, everything is influenced by the three modes. 24 elements and three modes. These are not in same sequence. Three modes are not three elements. Three modes are energies which influence these 24 elements. Okay? So these are not 24 plus 3. We are not discussing that. Okay? 24 elements plus soul 25 plus time 26, sometimes categories plus super soul 26. Sometimes time is added, sometimes super soul is added, sometimes all together is added, becomes 27. So this whole world is 27, nothing else. There is no knowledge outside this 27. 24 elements plus soul plus time plus super soul or Krishna. There is nothing else outside this. If anything is taught outside this, it's kachra, it's dirt. For example, modern education system. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall, Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. You all studied this? Huh? You know, they teach here? May I request somebody tell me the meaning of this? I will tell you, google.com also doesn't know the meaning of this.
It's for war like crack.
Nobody knows as of today the meaning of this. All the theories that it's an egg, it's a gun, it's all speculation. There is no meaning of this. As of today, nobody on the planet knows the meaning. But even today it is taught. No use, but we teach. And the parents, you know, they call the small girl. Said, Bitiya, my dear daughter, uncle, auntie has come. Please chant one poem. Please recite one poem. And she will go humpty dumpty, sat on a wall, humpty dumpty, had a girl. And the uncle, auntie will say, oh, very nice, good girl. And she will think, I did a big achievement today. And what achievement you did? Nobody even knows the meaning of this. If they are in Sarva Dharman Paritya, or if they are in Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, okay, some achievement I can understand, whole life it will be valuable. Man mana bhava mad bhakto yada yada dharmasya. Something like this we teach, understand. This has no meaning. But still it's taught. And modern education is full with this. I can go on for hours. Modern is full with this. But Bhagavatam is this. 24 elements plus soul plus super soul with time. Super soul, I mean Krishna incarnations, everybody included. Okay? So we went through the 24 elements, we went through the gross and subtle and the difference, we went through how the gross, one element transforms to other, we went through mind, we went through intelligence, we went through false ego, we went through time, we went through three modes. Okay? Now where does all this fit in? These are all the different parts of the car. Tire is there, engine is there, steering is there, this is there. Now we'll fit in together. So Mahavishnu, when the need of creation is there, and there is Mahatattva, so Mahavishnu, with his eyes, glances on Mahatattva. Glance means see. When he glances at that time, time starts. The element, time. The 25th element, time. It manifests with the glance of Mahavishnu. Before that, there is no time. That is the first point, the time starts. Glance. Now, if at all Big Bang happened, if at all, then the closest relation of Big Bang to our creation system of Bhagavatam is this glance. When Mahavishnu glanced, that can be called a Big Bang. Glance can cause explosion. Like if you keep a glass outside under the sun, the glass may break. That's possible. The sun can glance on the glass and break it. Mahavishnu glances and the creation, the Mahatattva, when he glances, the time element is put into Mahatattva. Krishna's glance is very powerful. It's very cooling. When Krishna glances on his devotees, all their material miseries go away. When Krishna glances on his devotees, all our burning pain in the heart goes away. Just like the moon, when the full moon is there, Purnima, we feel cool. So if millions of moons together come, how much cool we feel? That much is Krishna's glance. Very cooling, very powerful, very purifying. Can remove all the burning sensation of various miseries we occur. Just like when we come to the temple after a whole day of work, we feel peaceful. We see Gaudita, we chant Hare Krishna, we dance in the kirtan. We feel nice. That's Krishna's glance. We offer nice plate bhoga to Krishna, ring ganti, bell, chant mantras. After 15 minutes, what happens? Krishna ate. How does he eat? With his eyes. What does he do with the eyes? He glances on the food. And he eats with his eyes, and that food becomes Mahaprasad. So Krishna eats with his eyes. Krishna can perform any activity with any part of his body. He can talk with his legs, he can eat with his eyes, he can smell with his hands, he can walk with his nose. That's Krishna. Any part of his body, any anga, can perform function of any other anga. So Krishna glances, Mahavishnu glances on Mahatattva. And what happens? The action of time starts at that time. That means time attacks Mahatattva. When time attacks Mahatattva, Mahatattva starts becoming manifest. Before Mahatattva becomes manifest, there is unmanifest. Unmanifest, all elements combined together, unmanifest. That is called Pradhan. Pradhan is unmanifested stage. Mahatattva is manifested stage. You understand manifest and unmanifest? If I have rice, salt, dal, sabji, fire, these are unmanifest khichdi. If I put them all in a utensil, put it on fire, cook for some time, then it becomes manifest khichdi. You good? There's a seed, it's unmanifest tree. You put it in the field, water it, after some days you will see manifest tree. The tree is inside the seed, no doubt. Where it is? Unmanifest. If I give you a glass of milk, am I giving you ghee? Yes. Ghee is inside milk, but it is unmanifest. If I do some process, little ghee will come out. That's called manifest. You good? So Mahatattva is manifest. But when it's unmanifest material world, that's Pradhan. Okay? So time attacks Mahatattva. Now whole creation will be done by time, but we'll not talk about time. As discussed, time is invisible, the effect is visible. So whole creation now we will talk about is done by time. If time is not there, this activity will not happen. So time attacks Mahatattva and gradually the first item comes out is ego. Time plus Mahatattva is equal to ego. This is only for our understanding. It is not in this way it happens. 1 plus 2 is equal to 3. It is not in this way it happens. This is only for our understanding. Okay, so I will use plus and equal in this way, just for our understanding. But there are lots of other things involved here. Time is involved, and as we go forward, modes are involved. As we super soul is involved, then in future creation, demigods are involved, Brahma involved. But I will use easy equations to understand. As we discuss creation, 001 we are discussing. So time attacking Mahatattva gives ego. Then after some time, three modes get evolved: goodness, passion, ignorance. This is material nature. They are just getting involved, becoming categories. Now ego and the three modes, ego will combine with goodness, ego will combine with passion, ego will combine with ignorance. And we will get byproducts. We are good till here?
Yeah.
Okay, now we'll discuss the byproducts. Now time has attacked Mahatattva, ego is in our hand, more goodness, passion, ignorance is in our hand. Now when ego combines with ignorance, the first item comes out is ether and sound. Ego plus mode of ignorance gives ether and sound. Over time, this ether and sound gives air and touch. Now you understood the sequence, what will happen? Over time, air and touch will give fire and form. And over time, fire and form will give water and taste. And over time, water and taste will give earth and fragrance. This all is ego in combination of ignorance with the help of time. Clear? Ego combines with passion, gives mind. Also produce administrative demigods. We are not going to that now. Ego produce combined with passion gives mind. Intelligence. Ego combined with goodness gives ten senses. Five working senses, five knowledge acquiring senses: eyes, ears, nose, tongue, skin, hands, legs, mouth, anus, genitals. So ego plus ignorance gives five sense objects and five gross elements, 10. Ego plus passion gives mind. See, intelligence is not with passion, intelligence with ignorance. Ego plus ignorance also produces intelligence. 11 plus 1, 12. And ego with goodness gives 10 senses. 5 working senses, 5 information gathering senses. 22, ego is 23, Mahatattva is 24. All 24 elements are created. I'll go again. Ego plus ignorance gives 11 items. Which are those 11 items? But it gives one by one, not together. Sky with sound. Then air with touch. Then fire. Fire with form. Then water with taste. And earth with fragrance. 11. Then ego with passion gives
mind.
Ego with goodness gives
five
senses,
five.
Yeah, 24. Then Brahmaji gets involved to produce bodies. Creation done, everything done, but nothing moves. Nothing happens after all this, nothing moves. Brahmaji puts his head there, nothing moves. He calls finance meeting, he calls operations meeting, he calls plant meetings, he fires everybody, but nothing moves. Then Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, who is lying down, he expands into Shirodakshaya Vishnu, who is a real hero. And this Shirodakshaya Vishnu enters every atom, every element and heart of every living entity. Then everything moves. It's like without SIM card, mobile, it will not work. Without signal. So Garbhadaksha Vishnu enters, Shirodaksha Vishnu enters into every element, every atom, every heart of living entity, and then the creation moves forward. But for this to happen, Brahma has to put a lot of effort. He has to pray and say, please do something, please come, I am finished, I can't do more. So Garbhadaksha Vishnu mercifully, he starts the movement. This Shirodaksha Vishnu is also called Paramatma, Super Soul. He stays in our heart. Unfortunately, science doesn't talk about Super Soul, which they should talk about. You know, in chemistry we study, I hope, I'll just narrate if you are familiar with this. There's a element with atoms and electrons. Atom is in the, there's a nucleus in the center, and there are orbits in which electrons are going, S, P, D, F. Are we good with this?
Yeah.
Okay. You heard one electron going from one orbit to another orbit when the reaction happens?
Yeah.
Right? This one nicely say one electron jumps from S orbit to P orbit. Right? Now suppose, hypothetical, I take this mic and throw it in between class. It will become breaking news in ISKCON Perth. Right? So how will you narrate this news to somebody? You know, yesterday, while the class was going on, the mic jumped. Will you tell like this? No. Will you say, you know, yesterday when the class was going on, the Prabhu took the mic and threw. Which one you will tell? Second one. So science, they say the electron jumped. They don't say the super also threw. How can electron jump? Jump is a verb. Verb means action. And for that require a conscious living entity. And matter can jump. First they say matter cannot jump. Then they say electron jumped. What happened? What happened is super soul is present. He did everything, if at all it happened. Super soul is the one who does it. Without the presence of super soul, nothing happens. Even this hand I am moving up and down, without the presence of super soul, this will not happen. If I lift this glass, without the presence of super soul, this will not happen. So everything in every atom and all the activities going on, all the interactions going on, is caused by Paramatma, is caused by super soul. So proper way to teach science, if at all, is to tell the electron was thrown by a super soul from one orbit to another orbit. But what they say? Jumped. How can electron jump? Just as mic cannot jump, electron also cannot jump like that. But nobody asks this question. Why? Because 2-3 marks are involved there. You write in exam S1 reaction, SN2 reaction, 8 marks, you pass the board. But this is not the way science works. This is not the way activities happen. Atoms don't interact just by their will. They don't have a will. It's super soul who is everywhere. You are right now sitting on super soul. You are walking on super soul. When you spit on super soul. Everywhere is super soul. There is no place where super soul is not there. So that's Shirodaksha Vishnu, Paramatma, in your heart, 8 inches. 8-inch power. The size of super soul in your heart is 8-inch. Standing on a whirl of lotus, blue body, 4 hands, overseeing our activities, witnessing our activities, giving results, sukha and dukha to us. And the purpose of Paramatma inside the heart 24 hours is to tell us, please come back to me. This is not your place, this creation I have created, but you have to quit this creation and come back to me. So for crores of lifetimes, crores of years, millions of years, Paramatma is waiting when we will come back to him. So patiently he is waiting. We have been neglecting and ignoring him since lakhs of years. But he is waiting, one day this boy will turn back to me. One day this girl will turn back to me. He is waiting for that purpose. So Shirodaksha Vishnu is Paramatma of living entities. Garbhadaksha Vishnu is Paramatma of the universe. And Ma Vishnu, Karnadaksha Vishnu, is Paramatma of the whole creation. Okay? Material nature, Prakriti, is 24 elements. Material world is manifestation of material nature. Material world is temporary. Material nature is permanent. Manifestation is temporary. Creation, destruction, creation, destruction. Material nature, Prakriti itself is permanent. Sometimes it's one, and when time attacks, it becomes into so many elements. The manifestation, like a building made of cement, stone, brick, water, steel, is manifestation. The raw materials are permanent, they are all coming from. Even if you break the building, the raw material still exists in some form. We say energy is neither transformed, energy is neither destroyed nor created, it is just transformed or converted. So material nature is that energy, never created nor destroyed. It is eternal. Just as Krishna is eternal, soul is eternal, material nature is eternal, time is eternal. But the material world, which is manifestation of material nature, that is temporary. So the creation happens of this material world. Material nature is always there. So the purpose of creation is to fulfill our desire. And in this creation, one very important element is added. One very important item is added. That is, we have a facility in human form of life to quit this creation. This creation is very vast, very complicated, very difficult, very big bondage. But there is one way out, and that is devotional service to Krishna. There is enough loopholes in this creation, especially in the human form of life, where we can quit this creation and go back to our home. The whole purpose to describe this process is to tell there is somebody behind this. And our job is to serve that person. We are not jnanis to just know the information in good class. We are here to serve the person who created this. To serve Krishna, who is the cause of all causes. So all this knowledge in Bhagavatam is to help us to reach this point of devotional service. Okay? We'll end here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. If there are any questions or comments, we will take. Yes.
Prabhu, as you mentioned, the height of Super Soul is 8 inches, which is mentioned Bhagavatam, but at the same time it's also mentioned it's the size of a thumb, so how do we understand?
Not size of thumb. His size of thumb till this point. From this point to the last finger, this point. This is as per the body. If a small girl is there, her palm size will be not 8 inches. So adult size is 8 inches. And the ant is there. There is no 8-inch super soul in the ant. Ant itself is how much? So ant's palm, equivalently, that is the size of the super soul. Okay?
So different animal will have different size of the super soul.
8 inches, a phrase, of from this point to this point.
For that particular animal.
And if there is big animal, giraffe or somebody, bigger. But the power is same everywhere.
If some animal might not even have the thumb then.
But still there will be equivalent size which can be categorized. Okay? Yes?
Prabhu, you said Mahavishnu glances on the Mahatattva. So actually he is glancing on Pradhan and then it is manifesting.
So he is glancing on Mahatattva before even Mahavishnu comes inside Mahatattva. Mahavishnu, when he wants to create, then he is required, he comes inside Mahatattva. Before that, the cloud in the spiritual sky is unmanifested. That is Pradhan, which is like after dissolution, whatever is there, everything finished. Then when the deed of creation is there, Mahavishnu enters into Mahatattva and glances.
And it is also said in Bhagavatam that some who carries the glance. So
Lord Shiva is a father of creation. The meaning being when Vishnu and material nature come in contact, they don't come in contact. Shiva comes in between, who is transformation of Vishnu, and he does the other activities. I didn't go into that aspect. because it will become more details. So Shiva is the one who is transformation of Vishnu for the purpose of coming in contact with material nature. But they both are same. Like milk and yogurt. What is the difference? Same items. But milk coming in contact with acid becomes a different transformed item called yogurt. So Vishnu coming in contact with material nature becomes expanded item. Vishnu remains. So here milk doesn't remain, only yogurt remains. Here Vishnu and Shiva both remain, and yogurt does the other job. Shiva does the other job. He is master of Durga. He is husband of Durga.
So Shiva is carrying the time, right?
No, time is Vishnu. Time is Vishnu. See, these are not the way we understand physical things. Right? These are things which are beyond our normal intelligence. So, Lord Shiva, he helps Vishnu in handling matter, in handling material nature. Like, if a person newly comes to Perth and he doesn't know anybody, he may hire a tourist guide and he will handle all his schedule, appointment, interactions, affairs, visits. So, Shiva handles material nature. Vishnu doesn't like to touch material nature. Yes.
We are born eternal, pure. So I was thinking that when we were born into the world, we are pure soul. But you mentioned that Krishna create false ego. So are you telling that we, as we were born, we are born with false ego as well? Because I was always thinking false ego is due to conditioning of the external environment towards our soul.
So when we are born here, you are saying
when a baby is born,
their false ego is already there.
False ego is already there.
Baby is born not pure, is impure. Baby, they say, is born in ignorance, not innocent, ignorance. He has already done sinful activities, that's why he is born. Otherwise, he would be liberated. Born means what? Some karma is there, some sins are there. Otherwise, already liberated last life, na? So, when a baby is born, the false ego is there. Even before born, the false ego is there inside. When the soul changes the body, goes from one body to another body in the womb of the mother, with the soul the false ego goes. As I told you, soul is, false ego is very close neighbor of the soul, doesn't leave. In fact, if you remove the false ego, suppose you remove my false ego, hypothetical, you take a rope and improve my false ego. You know what the soul will do? Will run behind you. My false ego. So attached. As if you remove the soul. The soul will also come out. Soul will not say, okay, good. Dushman chala gaya. Enemy left. No. Soul will run behind. My but subtle body. Okay? Yeah.
Raj, you mentioned two types of bodies, cross body and so where does this spiritual body comes into picture when the soul has completed the journey? Would it be coming, would it be available that time, or is it that, how does that happen?
Soul and soul's spiritual body, these two are one item. Soul is equal to spiritual body, there is no duality. Now this material body and soul, there is two, duality. In the spiritual world, soul and soul's body, there is no two, there is one. Soul is equal to spiritual body. So now soul is in compact state. When we practice devotional service and get liberated, that compact state opens up, just like a bird and a flower. What is the difference? Bird and flower, what is the difference?
Flower is bloom.
Same, bird is flower. Bird after some time become flower. So compact soul after some time will become what we call spiritual body. Same, no difference.
You know, the kids like to watch, maybe it's the music they like or whatnot. So how can we indulge them in such activities which are more shastrical? Obviously, we are in Western country and that influence is there also. And don't know, my kid personally hasn't started going to school yet. So in future, if he goes to school, shouldn't he be learning both sides of the coin and then deciding which one is for him? And, you know, obviously one is correct.
Only one is correct.
Yeah, but shouldn't that choice be given to him?
No, what choice you give to him? Juice or poison?
Juice, of course, but
no, you can't give a choice of poison. Okay, so let me, I understand you. See, the best thing is kid goes to Gurukul, learns from the spiritual master. At this point of time, it's not practical. ISKCON also in 50 years has not evolved to have so many Gurukuls. So the second option is have a Krishna conscious atmosphere at home. Let kids participate in Krishna conscious activities where shlokas are learned, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is chanted, dancing is done, deity worship to dolls is done, and let him take a career, let him take an education on which we still have faith, let it continue, and pray to Krishna, give blessings to the kid that he takes up a right path when he becomes adult. This is second option as of present circumstances, not the ideal option. This is feasible option. But an ideal option would be have a eventually the community should have a Gurukul where kids go and learn Krishna consciousness. No Humpty Dumpty waste of time. Imagine if, what is your age, Prabhu?
2 years, 4 months.
Your age?
My age is 30.
30. Imagine 30 years instead of learning Humpty Dumpty, you learn Bhagavata. What would be you today? A very different personality?
Yeah.
That's what we want our kids to become. That's what we want ISKCON future to be. A very different person if he learns 30 years Bhagavata. Many of us learn 5-10 years Bhagavatam and we today feel very different. Imagine since childhood we will be learning Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and chanting shlokas, and what ISKCON future would have? 30 years of Bhagavatam maturity is not ordinary. ISKCON would have young boys of 20-25 years knowing all the 18,000 shlokas of Bhagavatam and going around the world and preaching and defeating Mayavad. But here for them we have to specially start youth classes, kids classes. First they learn something in the school, then we have to come here and defeat each and everything and then give something positive. You are getting my point?
Yes.
So what is feasible we do?
Definitely.
Yeah.
So two questions. Now one is what he asked also. So your idea is very true but not practical. Like having a Gurukul and stuff. We don't have a Gurukul, right? So another thing, there is an outside world. So even if we had a Gurukul, even if we had the right teachers, even if we had the right education, now if that child gets married, naturally cannot live in the temple because temple doesn't have the facilities to live outside. And when he lives outside, he's got to have that education where he can earn some Lakshmi so he can maintain the family. What happens in that case?
So that's what I'm saying. It's an unfortunate situation where in 50 years ISKCON has not evolved to give all these conditions to a growing child. It's got expanded fast, but these things are yet being manifest, taking time to manifest. So we follow the second option. Gurukul doesn't mean he is not capable to stay in outside world if he chooses to. Gurukul would not be like that. Gurukul gave him enough intelligence and understanding that very nicely he can stay as a gentleman outside if required. Gurukul will be holistic. But there will be less of Humpty Dumpty business. Getting my point? So we are not talking about something that he will become good for nothing if he steps outside the temple. He will become still productive. At least he can take care of his family. In future ISKCON evolves, can take care of grahasthas also as taking care of brahmacharis. Grahasthas have simple needs, husband and wife both working for the preaching mission. Doesn't make difference if we can have take 10 brahmacharis, we can have 5 grahasthas, it becomes 10 per persons. Still same expenses, both are simple, working for the preaching mission. Right? Prabhupada time grahasthas also would be there, but now as we are expanding, we have certain challenges. So hope so, all joining hands together, we can overcome those challenges.
And the second question was, yesterday you said that or fall down or because of the cause of the desire that why is Krishna enjoying India here. So if you have fallen down here, then why do we start from the lowest species like from the sea life and then gradually come up? Why did we just become human beings and in that we learn something?
So we didn't become sea. Where is this? The first...
No.
The first person, first form we get is Lord Brahma. And as Lord Brahma, if we rectify, we go back home, back to God. If we don't rectify, then we come down, 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 down.
So we became Lord Brahma first. All of us.
Each one of us. Each one of us is a great Brahma here. Each one of us was a rat also sometimes, cockroach also sometimes, lizard also sometimes.
But Brahma, I don't know.
Each one of us was all this 84 lakhs.
So from Brahma we fell down further. And then we took the sea life, am I right?
Further, 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 further. Then the cycle went on, up and down, merry-go-round.
So like from Brahma we became demigods and from demigods...
Depends, yeah. Generally if Brahma comes to heavenly planets, then comes to lower planets, like that it goes down. From Brahma to fish may not occur. Brahma to down, down, down it may occur. But if you don't, at any point of time we don't perform materialistic activities, we go up. If we perform materialistic activities, we go down. So many times the Brahma himself gets liberated immediately. But if he doesn't perform devotional service, then he goes down.
But from what I've read, that Brahma is very close to Vishnu and he always gets liberated, come what may.
Mostly. Right? Yes, mostly. But there are some sitting here. I mean, I am here.
Is that a Brahma is only one person or?
In one universe, there is one Brahma.
But then here we are billions and trillions.
So how many years have been passed till now? Billion multiplied by trillions.
But Brahma's
and this
life is
eternal. This is going on since eternal. Cycle of birth and cycle of creation and destruction is eternal, not temporary. And crores of universes are there, infinite universes are there. We are dealing with infinities. You can't object infinities with finite items. Infinity plus infinity is infinity. Infinity minus infinity is infinity. So we are dealing with infinity here. So if you are saying there are infinite universes and infinite Brahma, infinite living entities and only one Brahma, doesn't matter. Infinite Brahmas, infinite living entities, infinite universes.
Just in like
if it is mind boggling, you are correct, it is mind boggling. That's Krishna. Krishna's big brain, our tiny brain, how it will match. The highest understanding of creation is we can't understand. Because it's big brain, Krishna's big brain. It's like an ant trying to understand how a big skyscraper building is built. How much you can teach an ant? Or go to a 2-year-old boy and teach him trigonometry. It's very difficult. Krishna created something we are trying to understand. We are not equal his intelligence, no? Yes.
And just in relation to that, Prabhu, because we've also read that or heard in lectures that when is not qualified person to take the post of Lord Brahma, then Lord actually takes the position of Lord Brahma as well. So in that case, when we are put into that position, obviously gone case because we're already coming with those unwanted desires in our heart to enjoy. So we are not qualified at that time to be put into that position. So how does that work?
So there are both the things. We have an unwanted desire, but if we have repentance, we have repentance and we want to cooperate with the Lord, okay, I did a mistake, now I want to rectify myself. So the Lord will empower us to do a particular seva. Now also we have unwanted desire, still we are being engaged in Lord's seva and we are sincerely trying to execute it. Right? If we again do offences, we get result. If we do mistakes, we get chastisement. But if we do nicely, Krishna is pleased. So Brahma is also doing a seva. If he is ready to sincerely cooperate, he is often given a chance. Anybody who is sincerely ready to cooperate, how much big mistake he has done, he should be given a chance. That is the law of creation.
Okay.
If tomorrow some devotee stops doing 16 rounds, breaks four equity principles, doesn't come for in the temple, doesn't pay obeisances, just some nonsense, but one day he comes and says, I am very sorry, I did this, I want one more chance. Will we say no? We will say, okay, okay, come. Right? Because Krishna's temple, Krishna gives chance to everybody, however fallen a person may be.
With the yugas, how the yugas work in a cycle. So at the end of each yuga, so when the Kali Yuga finishes, there's two questions here. One is that someone asked the other day how the if you know in Satyuga we are coming in an ancestral chain, so we had our ancestors, so we've been our ancestors took birth, and so we'll be coming in a change, and was that chain, is that chain coming from Satyuga? How does that work?
So when Kali Yuga will end, Vyasdev is still there.
Yes.
He is waiting only for one seva. And he will be waiting for next lakhs of years only for one seva. At the end of the Kali Yuga, there will be two boys. Vyasdev will give them diksha and initiate a Kshatriya race of Surya Vamsh and Chandra Vamsh. And they will continue. So yeah, obviously there has to be an ancestor from Satyuga going, otherwise somebody, how can somebody pop up? Middle somebody cannot pop up, you know. There are chains and there are branches. So it's going on from like that. But as it goes, the quality of semen gets degraded. And accordingly, the lower consciousness personalities are born. So the next Satyuga, by Vyasdev's initiation, Surya Vamsh and Chandra Vamsh will start. Much better progeny will be there. And they will populate Satyuga.
But at the end of Kali Yuga, everyone is finished?
Means death to happens. Finish doesn't mean liberation. Death
because they are in a degraded, such a degraded position, and Satyuga we talk about.
There's a transition. It's not next overnight. There's a transition. There's something called Yuga Sandhya. So there's this Yuga Sandhya between Kali Yuga and Satyuga. In that transition, many things get cleared up. Krishna or his incarnation one, they can clear up the whole thing in 1 second. Doesn't take time. So in the transition, things become better.
Is that when Lord Kalki comes? And
Lord Kalki comes towards the end of Kali Yuga. He kills many of the demons. And Vyasdev starts the Satyuga.
So until that time, where is Vyasdev?
He is there in Badrikashram. Next 4,27,000 years he is waiting, only for one seva. And we have difficulty waiting even for 2 minutes.
How come no one is sleeping?
Not qualified, no? How many people go to Badrikashram?
No, there is a place where Vyasa is written.
But it's not, we have to be qualified to access to see his spiritual body. No? Mm. He will not give darshan like this.
So it's no material body?
No, no, Vyasa is spiritual body, is incarnation of Krishna, Satchidanand. Our eyes can't see Satchidanand. Vyasa can come to Perth and sit here, but we will not be able to see him. Forget Badrikashram. Spiritual body we can't see with these eyes. Satchidanand.
Just a different question related to this. If he is incarnation of Krishna, how come he couldn't have he couldn't leave the attachment to his son when he is living? When Sukhdevji is leaving, he started crying. But that's attachment. Where
Krishna cries even if you take butter from his hand. That's Leela. That's Leela, pastime. Vyasa came as a pastime of a householder, ordinary householder. So when Krishna comes down for a particular mission, taking a human form, he also exhibits human characteristics of crying, fighting, stealing, laughing. He is exhibiting human characteristics. You see in drama or a cinema, in which the actual person is different and something else is happening. So they are exhibiting certain traits which they are not actually having. Right? So this is a big drama. Krishna comes and exhibits certain traits for the pleasure of his and himself and his devotees. Okay? So Krishna is there and Krishna's mission is there. We don't take these characteristics and impose on here. Krishna stole better. He doesn't require stealing, you know, everything belongs to him. But he is doing it to enjoy our pastimes. Right? So he doesn't exhibit his supremacy when he is acting as an ordinary boy, running after cows, running after gopis, playing with the friends. So the incarnation exhibits certain traits for the particular mission. When Sita is kidnapped by Ravan, Ram is crying. If Lord Ram wants, he can manifest 1 lakh Sitas. Why he has to cry for one Sita? But he is exhibiting how a husband who loves the wife should take care of the wife. So all these incarnations have their missions.
But that has wrong implications, isn't it? People will actually think, where is the Krishna factor? I mean, where is the Lord factor in this? He's crying like ordinary man, and also the thing is, he's also imposing on devotees to do the same thing. I mean, if people will try to copy.
So people should not think without hearing. That's why we are preaching. They should understand. Point one. Point two is that we don't have to copy the Lord. We have to follow what he has told. We don't have to do what he did. At age 5 days old, he drank milk of Putna with poison. Tell people to follow this first. Have a glass of milk and poison. Then talk about copying other leelas. So if you want to copy, copy everything. At age 5, all people who want to copy, they should be given milk glass with poison. Then you talk about doing Ras Leela. Getting my point? So we don't have to copy his activities. We are not so powerful. We have to do what he says in Bhagavad Gita. And he says in Bhagavad Gita, Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji maam namaskuru sabha dharman prate maam ekam shana vaja aham tvam sarva papeva mukshay sarva maa sucha. So we have to follow his instructions, not follow his activities. He is powerful, his activities are different than us. We can't follow.
But why can't he be the precedent where people with all his teachings, when what he preaches, if we put it in practice?
He came as Ram, Maryada Purushottam. He came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as a devotee. Follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Why follow Krishna? There he came as Purna Purushottam, to show he is God. He came to Mathura, killed Kamsa, broke all his laws in one day. If he does only what devotees do, then he will say he is not God. Second point is that. So he shows his supremacy. He deals with the devotees in such a way that when we hear Krishna Katha, we get attracted. And the point is, we don't have to hear these pastimes from a non-bona fide source. Then we will not understand. But if we hear from proper devotees, followers of Sukhdev Goswami, followers of Narad Muni, then not only we understand these pastimes, we know what to do, what not to do, and we appreciate the glories of the Lord. Okay, yes.
Just in addition to that, Prabhu, when we look at these things, we don't just look at in that silo, just that one thing, we look at the whole pastime. So that pastime, when we talk about Lord Ram crying, but at the same time we see how Durga Maa, she got bewildered.
Hmm.
Because when she went with Lord Shiva to hear the story from in the south, I can't remember the name of the Muni, but she got bewildered because she wasn't listening properly at the time. And when she actually saw Lord Ram crying there, she said, I'm going to go and take a test.
Hmm.
So like that, if you look at the bigger scale, then we see that he showed, even in that circumstance, he showed he was just doing a drama there.
See, like a small child may be requested by the father, go and sleep early, and the father may be awake. The child cannot say, you are awake, so I'll be awake. No, you require more sleep. Father can manage less sleep. Your health will go down. Father has greater immunity. You have to go to school. Father can manage. You're getting my point? So there's no imitation required. Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So faith is also one of the elements?
Faith is no, not...
How does faith...
Faith is part of the mind.
Part of the mind.
Just like thoughts are there, mm-hmm. desires are there, faith is part of the mind. Doubt, faith. Doubt is part of intelligence. There is sentimental faith, there is intellectual faith. There is knowledge-based faith, there is just sentimental bhavuk, emotional faith. Like there are so many subtle things, anger, lust, kindness, compassion, mercy, greed, envy, pride. So all this is the mind. Determination. Okay? I will end here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Shri Krishna.